We knew we were going to have to move our transmitter because there's going to be a lead abatement program at American University where our antenna is located. But we thought that was going to come in the next year, and American University has notified us that we actually have to be ready to move our transmitter actually in this coming month. So that's hitting us unexpectedly. There was also the loss of the CPB funds. We didn't, of course, know about that. On the other hand, there were some monies that we had assumed for expenses that we haven't had to pay. One is that in our on-air drives, we've been relying far less on premiums. So assumptions we've made for money, you know, what we'd have to pay for premiums, is, you know, we're not spending as much. So there's a savings there. We also didn't take on our new general manager until the first of the year, so there's about 3 months that we didn't have to pay his salary. Oh, let's see. And and I do want to mention that, you know, we're about to start with our in a few days our spring drive, which will be our last major on-air drive of the year, at least as far as we know right now. We are definitely going even more austere on the premiums. We're going to be, in order to save money there. However, let me say a couple more things. One is we've tried to make use of Facebook a lot more, but so far that hasn't paid off financially, but we're hoping that that's something that we'll be able to draw an extra income in the future. We will have a new website that will go up online by May 1st, and we're also hoping that that's going to be a help to us. We have raised a bit on our website. Even the website that we had existed up to now, we still have done fairly well raising some money on our website. So anyway, the spring drive is coming up. We know it's of vast importance. We're going to be making a big effort to exceed what we would normally make. Unfortunately, I've discussed this with our general manager, but the problem is that historically we don't do much fundraising in the last 3 months of the fiscal year, which is what leaves us broke at the end of the year, so that by the time we go to the fall drive, we're actually paying for, you know, old bills instead of starting off the year on a good foot. So we're hoping that we can turn that around. And one idea we have is to start our fall drive earlier, so it actually starts out in the last quarter of this year. But I think we're going to have to do a lot more. And one possibility will be using the soft sell approach between all of our drives in order to bring in more income. And that's what I've got. Any questions?
Yes, this is Jim.
Okay, so there's a stack. I hear Jim and I heard somebody else.
LaFarn in a minute, since I can find what I'm looking for. LaFarn.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Jim?
I'm curious about the soft sell that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you declare that as a fixed period of time, or do you just request the programmers to push the fact that you're looking for a donation, that you're relying on listener support? Or how do you handle that?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. This is the first time we tried this, and we did it right after the winter fund drive. What we did is we decided, for this year, something new that we've created at our station is what we call a pledge team committee, which is made up of people from all the different components of the station, you know, the management, staff, programmers, LSB, CAB, so forth. So we meet and we assess where we're at and what we want to do. And so what we did is we decided to do a three-week trial period to see if the soft sell approach would work for us. When we started out, what we were thinking about was seeing if we could actually raise the difference between what we had set for a goal for the winter drive and what we actually, had achieved. And that amount was about $58,000. Now, in the three-week period, obviously we didn't come anywhere near that. But in doing it, what we discovered is that while maybe it's not bringing a ton of money, that it's a good approach. It is bringing in some additional donations. And so far, as far as we can tell, our listeners don't have a problem with it. And it is by soft sell, we're not sitting there and pitching and interrupting program and stuff. There's nuances, but there's ways that the programmers, make sure that they're bringing up from time to time, the fact that there's, the listeners can still keep giving. They don't have to stop giving just because the fund drive's over. And of course we, some of that comes in through the website, and in different ways, but so it's still something that we're trying out. But yes, we started out with a fixed period of time. Now, I will say this: we had one of our meetings today, and it was decided that we probably could have gone on past 3 weeks and continued. And we may try, say for instance, after the spring drive, we may, wait a little bit, a week or two, but then institute another soft drive. Which we probably really do need, because, like I say, during the summer, we don't do much. We have a mini drive in August and a couple of fundraisers. That's about it. We need to improve on that.
So were the programmers pretty agreeable to making those soft sell pitches?
Well, so far, apparently, I can't necessarily speak for all of them, We're getting enough cooperation right now. I'll be frank. All our programmers are volunteers, and there's different levels of understanding among them. How important following. The pitching and the fund drive efforts that we're making. And doing it, so it's probably not equal across the board, but that's why I say this was a first effort. So we think that we're going to be able to improve on that, do better. But it was a start.
Barbara, I have a question.
Okay, LaVonne was next on the stack. If she's ready, if not, we'll go to Barbara.
It's a short question.
You can go to Barbara.
I was just wondering if the soft sell includes things like, reminding people to send in their pledges.
Well, we do that. That was something that we would do anyway. And so that continues.
Right.
That's definitely. And what we were trying to do this time was actually see, we had an
something
idea
more.
Of
You're
how
doing
much
something
we,
more than that.
If we had done nothing, if all we had done was just, send out reminders and that sort of thing. We figured, about how much we might take in, and what we're looking for is to see how much additional
mm-hmm.
income we made because of the soft sell approach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, and the $12,000 basically represents that additional income,
mm-hmm.
more than what we would expect to have received in that three-week period. So it's not, it's not a tremendous amount, but it indicates that, it gives us a sense that
mm-hmm.
there's something there, and that we know we need to come up with, new approaches. And obviously, we talk about other things too. We know that a big issue for us is increasing listenership and thereby increasing the number of our listener sponsors. We can tell from our fund drives about how many donors we have, listener sponsor donors we have, and it hasn't increased over the last couple of years. And so we know that's a big issue, but that's not something that we've, other than talking about it, it's not something we've come up with a solution to yet. So we kind of have an idea where we have to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So we're not saying the soft cell approach solves all our problems. It's just something.
It's working.
Yes. Yeah, we wanted something we could do right now and not just in the future sometime. We wanted something that we could put into effect. Now, we will be doing some things, in fact, they should have been done already, things like, you know, thank-a-thons, you know, where we thank our, you know, we have programmers calling our listeners to thank them for making donations for the winter drive, and, you know, things like that to build goodwill and,
mm-hmm.
You know, efforts like that are going on.
I have one little follow-up thing. We use cards in the phone room where we actually ask people if this is the first time they've donated or if they've donated before. Do you do that? That's one
way
to...
Well, we do ask, when we take pledges, we ask people whether they're a new member
right.
or a renewal. And something we're going to try in our spring drive that we haven't done is to actually set a goal for
new
members,
mm-hmm.
and see if that helps. You know, we always talk about new and renewing members, but mm-hmm. we've never set an actual goal, or at least not recently. I think it's been done in the past, but we're going to try that in this drive and see if that you know, has a beneficial
mm-hmm.
effect. And like I say, we're really trying to simplify on the premiums. And this time, for instance, the premiums we're going to mainly be stressing is a mug, a tote bag, and an umbrella.
Mm.
And then we also have a really nice gift that we're going to be getting from the Smithsonian Institute. It's a set of jazz CDs and a book. But that will be a, you know, a higher premium.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, we're really going to try and go simple because so that the money coming in is to us and we're not having to pay it out. And plus, we can make sure we know we're going to be able to get the gifts, the thank you gifts to our listeners.
Okay. LaVarn, are you ready to go?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Tracy. I'm sorry, when you were talking about the transmitter and the issues there, are those
mm-hmm.
issues basically taken care of? Because that's where you still have a major payable is with the transmitter engineer. So are most of those issues taken care of now, or in terms of the lead abatement?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think it's actually taken care of. This came up very recently. I was just made notified of this earlier this month. And from what as far as I know, what the general manager he was telling me is that he was just notified himself by American University that we were going to have to move on this, you know, actually about a year earlier than we thought it was going to be. But and I'm not even sure if we have a place yet to move the transmitter. In other words, a temporary antenna.
Okay. So, other thing I can just say that, you know, in our discussions with the other general managers is that KPFK is having this jazz festival on Sunday. So, WPFW, of course, John is interested in that. And also the Archives has a DVD on jazz, which also, you know, John expressed an interest in. So it seems that, you know, more of the resources that from among all the stations are being shared. So that is some of it in terms of premiums and keeping the premium costs down. That's one of the things that they're looking at. But the other concern just with the WPFW numbers, you know, realizing the legal costs, like you said, we thought we were through there. And with the transmitter issue, that is what really contributed to your negative variance in the second quarter and
yes.
the budget, and you're still positive. So, and the major donations, I'm sorry, did you speak to that?
Yeah. I don't have the figure. I don't have my figures in front of me. I have your sheet. Let me see what it says on there. But
yeah, the second quarter.
But I do know that we were doing well in major, at least, you know, for at least based on what we were projecting. No, this doesn't show on yours.
Are the donations or can you find the
second post thing? Yeah. Yeah, see on the sheet. The sheet, the spreadsheet that you sent out a little while back, that's supposed to be for the first 6 months ending March 2011, for major donations, you don't show anything on there. But that's not correct.
Oh, no, it is on, it's on the, it's on, like, if you look at the second sheet on there, are you looking at 1103, October to March, FY 2011 final?
I have that one up.
Okay, and if you look at PFW?
Yeah, under PFW.
Line 42 on down. 42 is listener support.
Maybe I'm not looking at it. Line 42 and what I'm looking at is programming expenses.
Okay, if you look at line like, well, on my sheet here, it's like major donor is 45, and you have the corporate match is 44. Website 43, and you have donations. So on major donations for the year, for the first 6 months, shows a total of $10,000, and the budget was
$39,000. Yeah, well, I tell you what, let me pull up. There can be a difference because when it comes to revenue, I base what we've received based on the source reports that I get from the development director.
Uh-huh.
And and I'm not sure that that what you're showing as revenue is matching up with the categories that she has. And I should
talk about Tiffany. I'll just ask her to send me her report, and then I have a meeting tomorrow, a conference call with Robert and John. So we'll just talk about that. In the meantime, I'll ask her to send me a copy, and that's fine. See how we can reconcile.
Yeah, because right. And when you talk to her about grant money too, because so she can explain to you know what she considers to be grant money and how much that is too. Because I think.
Okay, I'll talk to her later because she's not. She wasn't initially scheduled to be on the call. But again, you know, with PFW. But this is what happened with the foundation, that things come up. PFW though you're like you said, your major payables is down to $72,000. I think it was about $130,000. I seem to recall at the end of the year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you have paid it back. So Robert really pays close attention to that in managing the cash. So. The results look like, you know, you guys are getting back and, you know, hoping was the working capital. So this question was asked, you know, on a call, you know, what stations does it look like what station you think still might be a problem? And in terms of going back to solvency, and PFW is definitely not a problem. It seems that you guys are doing really well. And I've said this before, and I think that the decision by your staff to cut their salary by 50% is, you know, really, really kind of works always in terms of really making the ship rise. So I really applaud the staff and the decision for you guys made to do that. And as things improve, the incentive is that, you know, those salaries will have to be reestablished.
Right. Yeah, that's what we talk. Well, first, we have to keep very close attention on our budget and our, you know, our plan. We still have, you know, the rest of the year to go, and so the critical thing is how we finish the year. And I'm hoping that, you know, that we'll be kind of where we had hoped to be at least, and that is a good thing. And you know, what the sacrifices that had to be made with our staff, you know, with the salaries, that it is a big thing, and it's, and we're still, you know, there's still not everybody is happy about it and stuff, and there's a lot of misinformation being thrown around too, but that has to do with some other issues about miscategorization of some of our staff people, and things like who's union and who isn't and stuff, but for the most part, I think we're everyone knows that we have a plan, that it's working, and that we're heading in the right direction, and I think that is what's giving people there's more energy now, I think.
Yeah.
And dealing with our issues, and especially with the fund drive issues and things, than perhaps there was before, because, you know, people know that, you know, something's really happening. And the key, I think, is what happens, in the next, with this drive, of course, and then the next few months afterwards. And I'm, so I'm a little bit of a nervous wreck.
Yeah, we all are.
Yeah.
Bill for the stack.
Tracy?
Yeah, okay. Well, Bill, go ahead.
Okay.
Sounds
like there's some...
Go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Sounds like there's some encouraging news. That's good. It's scary about the... did I hear this right? You're going to have to move the transmitter a year earlier than expected, which means...
Than what we expected, yes. About a year. I mean, in other words, we didn't... This was something that we thought we were going to be facing by the spring of next year. And there's an order. There's a number of entities on this antenna at American University, and we're one of them. And they had an order for who they were taking off. They didn't take everybody off at the same time to do their lead abatement. They're doing it in a sequence.
Yeah,
they decided that we're next.
Yeah. Well, the details don't matter to me. I mean, I'm just like that you need to do it. I'm wondering, do you need to modify your budget, because I just looking at the spreadsheet LaVarne sent, you have like $1,500 for the whole year for, you know, capital equipment regarding transfer equipment.
Oh, yeah, right, because we didn't expect...
And so, if we're not budgeting anything for that, because first question, do you need to revise the budget and sort of crash capital campaign? And also, just a suggestion, you know, this is ideal kind of thing to go after major donors for.
Well, that's
your get money for major donors for tangible things like this with a deadline.
Right.
Spelby's hesitant.
Yeah. We formed, and when I say we, in this case, for instance, it was, you know, the general manager took the initiative, but as a station, we formed what we call a major donor committee and so forth. And a person who's, been a very dependable major donor, you know, a little bit larger than others over the years, has agreed to be the chair of that committee. Now, what we're hoping to do is drive, you know, through the networking and the connection there, we're hoping to get some donations. I haven't heard anything definite yet, but that's how we're going at, hopefully going after some major donations to help us. Of course, I think recently a lot of time was spent preparing for this PTFP, you know, the grant from the government for to update all of our studio equipment and stuff, you know, to go from analog to digital. And that, we had, a lot of time was spent putting it together, and then Congress eliminated the funding. So now, you know, we've got to turn, you know, kind of shift gears and look in another direction. I don't know the details of what is going on right now, but that is what I'm assuming that our general manager is working. He works very hard on these things, and that's what we're going to have to look for. We're also trying to strategize because we have our relocation coming up, and we're looking to see how we can utilize resources we do have to help, you know, for the move, for the relocation and upgrading of where we go. And I can't really say very much about that right now, because we are definitely looking at places, and depending on where we end up going, it's possible that we may get some really friendly deals regarding, you know, how much we have to pay, you you know, for the new lease and stuff, and we don't know yet. So we don't know right now what we're talking about in terms of financial needs. Hopefully we may end up not as bad off as we thought, but we have to see. But we've definitely been looking at some very good possibilities. But of course, there's other people who will be, you know, going after the same places. So we don't, no matter what happens, we don't know for sure what will happen. But
okay, thank you.
So that's another issue too. That's all of that is going to have to, hopefully, is going to have to come out of grants or major donors. There's no way we're going to, raise that money, at this point, from just listener donations. Not right now, anyway.
Now,
I don't know whether that means we have to actually rewrite the budget. I think it's just we just have to make deal with the problem.
This is LaVarn.
Okay, just a sec. I'm just going to give us a time check. I'll have two motions. I'd like us to get off the phone by 7:30 Pacific, if there's any way. So can we give this about 5 more minutes and then try to come to a close? LaVarn, you're up.
The convention, when you say revise the budget, we're in the seventh month of the budget. So at this point, we wouldn't do a revised budget. We can perhaps do a forecast. We can ask the business managers, in fact, I will, the business managers and the general managers to do a forecast for the end of the year and to see where which is what absolutely that we need at this time, to see where we will be at the end of the year. And I'm still working on the cash flow, which I'm getting. I'll have for PFW for tomorrow's meeting, and then we'll have a summary. So I should have it by tomorrow afternoon. So I can give an idea at the PNB meeting where I think we will be, because I just sent the cash flow on KPFT, and like you can see there, in September they anticipate a negative cash flow, which is not good. So that's a real big concern again. My big concern is T's performance over the next 6 months of the year.
Yes.
And PFW, like you're saying, you have your move, you have the issues, the new issue with the transmitter lead abatement project. So that's a big concern for the foundation for this the lease expiration and your move.
Anybody else for the staff?
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. Much appreciated. KPFK, KPFA, and WBAI, be warned that you will be called upon in 2 weeks. And at this point, I think we should probably try to deal with the two motions that are on our agenda. One of them has been on for some period of time. So if we turn to item 5, forward by Ken Aaron about a month ago. Ken, do you want to motivate it a bit?
Yeah, I just want us to utilize the availability of Internet technology so that we can all keep a watch on each other as to the progress we're making on the budget. Against the budget timeline. So it's just a central billboard like you see at a ball game or something, so we can keep score about how things are going. And we have a centralized place to see it graphically. In my motion, I had proposed that the secretary keep it posted, because I know the national office is undermanned, and any assistance they can get from the PNB is, I'm sure, appreciated.
Madam Chair, can we have the motion read so people listening on the stream can know what it is?
Of course. I will do that right now. Excuse me. But the motion is that a spreadsheet be maintained on the NFC Yahoo Group documenting the status of the different business units in compliance with the budget timeline. This is to be maintained by the Secretary based on email he receives from the members of the National Finance Committee. Okay. Are there any other questions or comments regarding this motion?
Question?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so basically, compliance with the timeline is going to go to everybody on the NFC list, I guess, right? Everybody will just post to the list, and I'll pull from that. And if we run into any problems or questions, we'll just put them up there and straighten out on the list, right?
Ken, do you want to address that?
You're saying that everybody does his own updates?
No, you're saying that emails received from the committee members. I'm thinking exactly how we're going to do that. People may forget to send me something, but they will probably not forget to send something to the list, especially if we're all watching it. We're saying, hey, did you send anything to the list yet?
No, they wouldn't send it to you directly. They would just post it on the list. I mean, I'm not that familiar with the Yahoo group. I just want the end product of a spreadsheet up there that we can all look at.
Yeah, I'm just saying, okay, so it'll go to the group, which is a good thing, yes.
And actually, based on your experience, however you wanted to administer it, I would go in accordance with that.
Question, this is Kim.
Go ahead, Kim.
See, you're talking about the 2012 budget.
Right.
Okay.
That's it.
Yes, the 2011 KPFK budget is cut it out of our hands. We sent it to the DMV and that's it. Okay, so my only question was, R. Paul, do you have a way to fulfill the intent of this motion that is workable for you? And it sounds like you do.
Do I have a witch to...
That you kind of have a way to fulfill the intent of this motion.
I think so.
That makes sense to you.
I think I just outlined it. It's easy. People can say the blah, blah, blah LSB met and did, you know, this on the budget, and I can put that into something, and we can go along from there. We'll see how it works. I mean, I suppose the thing to do is, once we get information, I'll also ask people, look at this thing and tell me if this is working for everybody. Or if I'm not putting the right information in, or not too much information, not enough information, you know, we can hack this out on the list, I think, yes.
This Ken to the stack. The intent is the published timeline for budgets. So it's not just any random information, but it's like that people have accomplished the targeted activity required on the budget timeline
mm-hmm.
that we all agreed on in a previous meeting.
Yeah. All right. If there's no further comments, it sounds to me like we're ready to go to a vote on this. I'm going to start by asking if there's any objections to the motion. All right. Hearing no objections, does anybody want to abstain for the record?
Oh, Point of order, if you do it that way, an objection, if it's passed without objection, abstention is an objection, so it's not an objection.
Okay, fair enough. So are there any objections to the motion as stated? Okay, sounds like we have passed this motion unanimously. Congratulations, Ken.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to item 6. Item 6 is a motion that I am presenting this evening as a piece of new business. I suppose it's fairly obvious, but it is generated by the week or so of angst we have had regarding the nature of the Goldman Sachs Merrill Lynch donation. The wording of the motion is as follows. That station financial statements, and I think the right word there might be income statements, so I'm going to ask that be changed, include a list of grants held in restricted funds that cite the name of the provider of the funds and the named restrictions on the use of the funds. And to motivate it briefly, it's just to increase transparency where it's appropriate, and to prevent rumors flying around, because it will be clear what grants, what restricted funds Pacifica stations are in possession of and what they're for. so people will not have to speculate and guess. And they got
Ken to the stack on that.
And then Kim.
Anybody else for the stack? Okay, Ken and then Kim.
I'm assuming in certain cases with restricted funds, the donor would be listed as anonymous. In other words, or to modify it somehow so that people making donations can remain anonymous or something. So, like,
I agree.
Listing the
yeah.
donor or at the discretion of the donor or something like that.
That sounds like a good amendment, and I would happily accept it. We might need to think what the wording is, but yeah. Kim, you're next?
Oh, let's get the wording.
Yeah, let's do the wording.
Could you read the original words again once?
I have that station income statements include a list of grants held in restricted funds that cite the name of the provider and the named restrictions in the use of the funds. So cite the name of the provider.
Right. So like to take a KPFA example next to that line on the income statement, there would be some kind of a note that said San Francisco Foundation Environmental Reporting. That's all.
Something like funds that cite the name of the provider if the provider, unless the provider wants to be anonymous?
I'm willing to go with what Ken said and put a comment after cite the name of the provider at donor discretion. I think
right.
that's
donor discretion. Okay.
Which just basically means if they tell us to keep their name anonymous, then you don't do that, Lamar.
Okay, so
Bill.
Okay, I have it.
Okay, I had Kim on the stack, and then there's Bill.
Okay, so this Goldman Sachs thing would not be one of these, correct? That would.
Nope.
Had it been done correctly, that would have just gone into the major donor line.
Right.
Okay. And two, so this would be like after. We have two CPB lines. One's restricted for FSRN. One is unrestricted, my understanding is. So this would be like a third line under there if a station had one of those.
Yes, if we had funds that we could only use for certain things, or we would have to return them, that the intent is to capture those kinds. In other words, money that we can only spend on.
Do you want this to be retroactive to include all the ones we presently have?
I could support that, sure. Yes.
Why not? I don't know. Any objections from anyone?
I have a question.
Well, would that be an amendment here?
Okay. I think it is an amendment, but put it aside for a second. Let's go through the stack, and then I'll finalize the language based on all these good suggestions I'm getting. So Bill was next, and then Barbara.
And then Bruce.
My question was answered.
Okay, to the stack.
I just
okay,
want,
so, yeah, so Barbara.
I just wanted to clarify. So what you're describing is adding to the description of line items in our financial reports. It's not a separate document.
Yes, pending the issue that if the formatting were to prove impossible and it had to be put somewhere else, that the world, you know, the sky shouldn't drop. But, yeah, the idea is that it
mm-hmm.
would be in an abstainer.
A little more description.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so we had Barbara. We had R. Paul was next.
Oh, no, I wasn't next. I was just asking where, you know. I was just asking okay. about this has to be an amendment at some point. So.
Well, yeah, that's so right. This is Bruce. I wanted to address that.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I'm not an expert here, but I don't think we need to necessarily amend your motion to deal with, you know, Kim's concern there, because the way you've, your motion is written, it seems that it implies that from this point onward, you know, income statements should include this information, which would mean that anything that's come in during this year should appear now on the list in this way. I mean, that, in other words, it doesn't say from a particular date. It says that this is what income statements should include, this information. So it would seem that now that information, if we pass this motion, then that information should start appearing.
In this year.
Right. I mean, that's how I would interpret it, is that, yeah, starting, you know,
okay,
for the whole, you know, we go back and capture everything, at least for the year, since this is the income statements we'd be looking at.
Okay, well, that was certainly my intent. So if the language that I came up with supports
that's
that.
That's how I read it, yeah. I mean, I could be wrong, but that's how I read it. Maybe LaVarne could comment if she thinks that it's not clear enough.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what LaVarne has to say anyway in terms of being a hands-on person who actually does the work. Is this reasonable?
Right.
This?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I wanted you to comment on this motion that we're kicking around, both in terms of does the language support doing it for sort of all the funds that we're currently holding, and or do we have to say something retroactive? That was number one. And number two, whether it's a sensible thing and it won't drive you crazy.
I'm sorry, it should be fine.
Okay, this is the part about making a note with a list of grants that are held in restricted funds at site, who gave us the grant, if they don't want to be anonymous, and like two or three words about what it's for.
No problem. Can I just say that, once this was raised as an issue, when it wasn't an issue, that the other funds that were kind of like what they were trying to describe this to be now raises a big issue. So, we could go back and look at some in the past, prior ones.
We need
an internal auditor to do a lot of this. So a lot of this stuff I'd love to do, but until we can get an internal auditor in, you know, I just can't go over and look over KPFA to see, you know, like the San Francisco Foundation funds that they receive.
No. I mean, my intent for what it's worth. Yeah, this is Tracy. My intent for what it's worth was that this focused on, you know, funds that we have in hand that we're holding to spend on something right now. It's not stuff that came in last year or 3 years ago that we spent.
Okay.
I'm not asking for that. It's water under the bridge in terms of getting a grip on what's going on now.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, that's
okay.
Great.
All right, so is there any other comment on this, or anyone who is on the stack that I missed? Yeah, go ahead.
This document is public?
This would be part of our financial statements, and yes, they're public.
Good, then I have no other questions.
Tracy?
Yes.
Basically, LaVarne and I agree with this, that this needs to be done.
Great. Okay, now I'm... Yes, go ahead.
Call the question?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was just about to do that. So, okay, so the motion's on the floor.
Can't call the question.
No?
Do you have questions about the wording, or Paul, or...
Okay, first, no, we can't call the question to committee, but if we're done, we're done. What I have is this. The main motion I have is that station income statements include a list of grants held in restricted funds that cite the name of the provider and the named restrictions on the use of the funds. And then there's an amendment to add at donor discretion after provider, which would make it then read passes, that station income statements include a list of grants held in restricted funds that cite the name of the provider at donor discretion and the named restrictions on the use of the funds. So.
Okay. And since it's a committee and we don't entirely have to overdo Robert's rules, and there is, I think, no objection to the amendment.
Point of information.
If I may, I'm going to present the amended version. Yes, Campbell.
Yes. In terms of if the donor is kept confidential, the terms can still be made, would still be part of the reporting? Is that what's being stated?
That's what's being stated, and I think that that, in terms of basic financial transparency, is how it should be.
Agreed.
That's how I understood it.
That's I think that we should get a legal opinion on that from our general counsel.
Ken to the staff.
Well,
Kim to the staff. Why?
I just.
All right. Hold on. So we had Ken and we had Kim. Did you guys want to say anything? But basically, why?
I said my. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, so Campbell, why don't you talk a bit about why?
Well, if there are going to be certain restrictions on the funds that are provided, I think that it's just reasonable that someone reviewing our financials and being made aware of the restrictions regarding the funds would want to know who made them.
Okay.
You know, this is that does not seem at all transparent to me.
Okay. Ken, you wanted to make a comment on that?
Yeah, which is we are increasing transparency, and people may want a lot of things, but if we've been surviving at this point with the current level of transparency, now we're increasing it, and there can't be a legal problem that we haven't increased it enough. If we get challenged, we get challenged. But this is it's an unnecessary precaution to delay doing this. It's better to get this out and distribute the information publicly. Everybody should know where we're getting the grants. And if we're getting the money from anonymous donors, that's
where we're getting them from, yes.
Yeah, I understand that. But, Campbell, I'd like to know where your grandparents were born. There's lots of stuff people want to know. It's a question of what we're obligated to tell them. And if you're saying...
My grandparents are part of a non-profit organization.
Okay, okay. Right. Guys, the back and forth doesn't work.
You're saying that we would have to violate the request for anonymity, and we can't do that. They would be violating fiduciary responsibility to the donor.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Campbell.
This is why I'm asking for a legal opinion. I know we have all sorts of legal minds on this committee, but I would like to have an opinion from our general counsel.
All right. This is the chair, and this is the suggestion that I'm going to make. This is a committee. It is only a committee. The motion will be forwarded to the PNB. At that point, Campbell is free to request a legal opinion, and if that's what the board decides to do, that's what the board decides to do. I don't believe that the committee should be referring things for legal opinions that cost money. That's, I think, beyond our charter. So it seems to me that the choice that we have is to vote yes or to vote no or to abstain on the motion. So I'm going to ask that we go to a vote unless anyone has a burning desire to speak.
Kim. I have one comment.
Okay, I heard Kim and I, just a sec, Kim, and I heard someone else behind you. Who was behind you?
Barbara.
Okay, so Kim and then Barbara.
I agree with Tracy, and all I can say is, Campbell, you might want to just go online and maybe find the answer for yourself. You know, just do a little research. It shouldn't be hard. But we accept anonymous donations during the fund drive. I mean, that's just the way some people like to do it. I'm sure under subpoena, they would be required to reveal their name, but I don't see why that would be relevant or it would hurt us to accept and announce an anonymous donation.
Okay, I think Barbara was next.
If I'm understanding this correctly, the anonymity would really come from a desire from an individual, but if the donation is being made by, you know, Goldman Sachs gives, which is a philanthropic arm of their organization, I don't think that that's the kind of thing that would not be listed. Am I understanding this correctly?
My interpretation of the way that would work is that, yes, the fact that the donation was received from Goldman Sachs Charitable Trust at the request of an individual
mm-hmm.
is public information.
Mm-hmm.
And as you'll know, it was distributed as public information. But the name of the individual who advised the donation
mm-hmm.
at their request is not public information.
Right.
Although it is, of course, available to some entities within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to post that on our website because they've asked us not
to. It seems to me the concern about whether or not an organization can influence programming or whatever is, I'm not sure, but maybe that's what, Campbell, is that what you're concerned about? And if it doesn't require that organizations' names be hidden, I don't see why individuals can't be anonymous.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Campbell?
Yes, I don't have a problem with individuals being able to maintain anonymity. But when we're talking about major contributions to this foundation, I do have a concern that a corporate entity of one sort or another, or say some foreign power, would be able to maintain anonymity. I don't think that that's institutionally, I don't think that that's quite something I feel very comfortable about, and despite the legal minds that we
I don't
have
either, but I don't think
committee,
that's what she means.
My point is that I would like to have this to be gone over by our general counsel.
This is Tracy. I'm going to make a procedural suggestion here because I'm going to agree with what Barbara is saying, is that we're saying two different things. My sense of it is that the issue of whether or not the Pacifica Foundation accepts, I'm not sure we've got them, but hypothetically accepts restricted donations from corporate entities or foundations that wish to conceal their identity is really, it's a question of a bigger policy than simply whether we list things on our financial statements, which is all that we're talking about here. And I think that falls under the guideline of the work that the FRAT is doing in terms of updating or refining some policy regarding that. And my sense of it is that if a large organizational entity made a demand for anonymity, that probably we would turn that down, and probably we should. But I don't think it falls within the listing it on our financial statements question.
Kim,
so
back.
My sense of it is that I would prefer to throw that question to the FRAT and take it out of this motion where I don't think it belongs. Kim, go ahead.
I think if like a big anonymous donation showed up on a line item, there would be questions and it would be dealt with at that point.
Okay, is there anyone else who wants to make a contribution to the stack, or are we ready to vote?
Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, just real quick, I think Campbell does have a valid concern, but I think what you said, Tracy, is right. I think we need a policy that covers this and other things, and we've kind of talked about some of this in frat groups, so I hope Campbell will help us work on something there, too, that covers this and other issues so that we can get donations, but make sure there's disclosure where needed and figure out when that is and that sort of thing.
Yeah, what I will commit to as chair is that I will forward this motion to the PNB, and I will include Campbell's question or concern so that if there's a desire at the national board level to act upon it with a legal opinion or a something, that's expressed. That was raised in committee.
Madam Chair, can I make a point of that?
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I'm not clear. Maybe Campbell could restate it. I'm not exactly sure precisely what it is that he wants the council to review. Is it because if it's the language at donor discretion, is that what he means? Is that the wording that he's worried about?
the
Campbell?
The concern
I just
want
to know what it is that we're asking to be reviewed.
Yes. The concern that I have is in regard to any kind of an institutional contribution. I think that there shouldn't be an anonymity. If we're talking about an individual, I can understand that, and I certainly think that somebody should have that prerogative. However, with regard to an institutional kind of contribution, I think that this is something that we should not participate in having done, you know, as with anonymity. If we had Al Jazeera were to make a $5 million contribution to Pacifica and want to do it with anonymity, I'd have a serious problem with that.
Ken to the stack.
Okay, this is Tracy. As I said, the motion would be forwarded with the, you know, point the committee members were concerned about PNB guidelines regarding accepting large anonymous donations from organizational entities. Ken, let's go ahead and then hopefully we can
get... I just want to call the question. But this, I believe, I apologize for anything I said that was rude or trying to be ridiculed. Campbell has a valid concern, but I agree with Bruce. And Tracy, you're talking about our procedural policies in terms of accepting donations, under what conditions, and so forth. This is just a finance question about adding data to our income statement. And that's all it is. It isn't a, it's not, and so it's, that's the limit of this motion. So I call the question here. I think we should vote on it the way it is.
Okay, so the motion is put forward to the committee. Are there any objections?
Well,
yes.
Well, objection to calling a question because you can't do that in a committee. But if we're
okay.
We're done.
Okay.
I know. I just try to let the rubber rules, you know.
I thought you weren't supposed to talk if you're calling the question also. I thought you were supposed to only call the question.
We are wrong on all fronts, no doubt. But I did hear an objection to the motion, so I'm going to ask Arpal to go ahead and call the roll for the vote.
Okay. The motion is, as it has been amended already, amended without objection, the station income statements in, okay, how about that, the station? That the station income statements include a list of grants held in restricted funds that cite the name of the provider at donor discretion and the named restrictions on the use of the funds. Ken Aaron?
Yes.
Jim Boyd?
Yes.
I'm getting a lot of noise from somebody's phone.
Someone needs to mute.
Somebody's partying.
Dogfight.
Bill Prozier?
Yes.
Campbell Johnson?
No.
Kim Kaufman?
Yes.
Arpal Martin? Yes. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman?
Yes.
LeVarn Williams?
Yes.
Bruce Wolf?
Yes.
Okay, it's 10-4, one against.
Okay, thank you very much. And with that, we have completed our agenda.
Wait, can I ask one question? Just out of curiosity, like, how many of these kinds of grants do we even have floating around? I'm unaware of anything KTFK might have. Do we have a lot of these, or?
No, but should we be prepared?
LeVarn, is that something you can answer quickly, or is that something you need to get back to Kim back privately?
Maybe, Kim, maybe we can talk afterward. Do you mind?
No.
Okay.
All right. So we are at the end of our agenda. Our next meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, May 10th, which will be the second Tuesday in May. Thank you, everyone, and
you,
I'll try to.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
We are. If some of you want to stay on the phone and chat, feel free.
Please. Stay on the phone.
I'll stay on.